I can't find it. It's not finished anyway.
So we're jumping around. Whatever. We're doing it live, baby.
Bam.
Hey.
Each week we just have a new intro. We should have just did the Scottish National Anthem. That's what we should have fucking done.
Hey. Okay. And then Alex thinks that I turned his mic down because I was so disappointed that Alex didn't have our new intro working. And guess
what? It's not even finished, guys.
Who cares? No one's here for the intros. But speaking of intros, we have Paul all the way from Scotland, all the way from across the pond. What's going on, buddy?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you very much for having me on.
First international, I guess we've had guys from the States, but first intercontinental guest, if that makes sense. So give us some backstory. Give us some backstory. What do you do with the Cowboys? How did you become a Cowboy fan? We get asked this all the fucking time because we're from Canada. Yeah. People are like, how did you become a Cowboys fan? This is my turn to ask you. How did you, in fact, become a Cowboys fan?
Emmett Smith, we're back in the 90s. So back in the UK, we've got a TV station called Channel 4, and they used to show the NFL game highlights late at night. And when I was like 10 years old, I always stayed up, and obviously the Cowboys during the 90s were the team to root for. So, and obviously Emmett Smith always stuck out in my mind because he was just like, he's the GOAT. So, so since then, I've just always been a big Cowboys supporter. And obviously within Europe, there was the NFL Europe faction with the Scottish Claymores, London Monarchs, Barcelona Dragons. So I kind of got into American football through that way as well, but always had my American team, which was always the Dallas Cowboys. And up till now, I've been doing work for the UK Cowboys fans, and I also just got signed up to now employed by bloggingtheboys.com. So now doing the World's Team podcast every Saturday.
That's dude, epic, man.
I'm sorry, I have to ask, what was
Channel 4 or was Channel 4 on Channel 4? That's what I was gonna ask.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
Channel 4 now on Channel 5. Channel 5's being moved to cable.
I know they could have come up with some much more better name for the channel, so now we're just at the Channel 4, you know?
Yeah, they're like, shit, oh shit, did we not register the name? Oh, we got a minute. The before the name office closed. We'll just fucking put.
So blogging the boys. So you have a separate or like a spin-off kind of podcast. It's the World's Team podcast, correct?
Yeah.
So you do that. Do you do that with a couple other guys from the UK, or how's that go?
So me and my co-host Meg Murray. So she does the Girls Talking Boys with Kelsey Charles on Thursdays, and I work with Meg on Saturdays. So we just kind of like just talk about what's been going on with the Cowboys and stuff like that. We did a big massive segment when it comes to the NFL International Series, which we were kind of hoping that the Cowboys, when they came to London this year. And I had this whole, conspiracy theory thinking it would have been the Cowboys this year, based on logic and based on what Roger Goodell was saying, how the whole system works. But no, it turns out it's just NFL was just talking crap.
I was totally hoping, like, I was actually, we had talked about it because we're planning on going to a couple games this year. We were really hoping that London was going to have the Cowboys because we were going to make the trip across, because that would be such an epic trip.
I will guarantee you though, as the home game for the Cowboys when they do host an international game of that extra game of season will be in Mexico, whether it be in 2 years time or 4 years time, because it's the host nation teams is always going to be either AFC or NFC teams, so they swap it every year. So obviously this year has been NFC teams, so next year is going to be AFC teams.
Man, Mexico would be sweet. And they're kind of, Mexico is now kind of becoming, like you said, the Cowboys' second home. It seems like they're trying to
Exactly, and especially with the whole NFL international marketing agreement, Mexico has been designated with the Cowboys, and obviously London's got Jacksonville and stuff like that, and countries like... I know, right? It's just terrible. I feel bad.
Yeah, I mean, for all trying to get people to get on board with football, and it must be working, but it's like, let's send our shittiest fucking let's send the shittiest product over and see what happens.
Okay, before we dive into anything else, anyone listening, all of our socials are at Cowboys CanFan. Everything we have, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, website. Twitter, website, It's all at Cowboys CanFan. If you've been here before, you know that. We're not going to go into that too much.
Minus an OnlyFans. We don't have our OnlyFans account.
Yeah. Well, that's just under our own names. If you can't find,
Show them knees. Show them knees.
Yeah.
Show them these legs.
There it is. Look at that fucking calf.
Whoa, that's a great looking calf.
Is that a fucking dinosaur's leg?
That's a sneak peek there, boys. Sneak peek. That wasn't my leg.
Oh shit. And you have to join the video podcast to see this exclusive hot action.
Or the Patreon.
Okay, so we got a shit ton of Cowboys stuff to go over. The training camp is in full-fledged. It's going. We got padded practices going. A lot of drama going. A lot of people put a little bit too much into these practices. And we actually had a guy with boots on the ground, Eric Serrato. Don't know if he's in the chat right now.
Not yet.
He was down there earlier in the week, and he was kind enough to send us some pictures. And we're just going to kind of quickly go through these. Eric was boots on the ground. We asked him to send us some pics. We couldn't be there. We really, 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 really wanted to be there. Unfortunately, didn't get to make it. Eric, what a good-looking dude, having a great time. Hey, Paul, have you ever been to the training camp by any chance?
No, I've never been to California, unfortunately. I've been to like most parts. So last year, I've been to Kansas City for the game, New Orleans for the game. That was the only two away games I've been to. But all the other games have always been at AT&T.
AT&T is a beautiful stadium. I would love to go to KC too, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll give Kansas City some credit, though. They are loud. For an open-top stadium, that's the loudest stadium I've ever been to. Even through soccer games, hands down, they were loud. And I was like, you know what? Fair play.
Yeah. So here's the thing. We don't have a reason yet to directly hate Kansas. So I'm okay with that.
No, we don't have a direct reason, but we do got our boy boots on the ground. Eric Serrato is in the chat right now.
Hey, AJ, you got to play this video. This is epic.
Yeah. So, this was at the training camp.
This is at training camp. Yep. We don't got sound.
We don't got sound, AJ, you fucking idiot. Not only did you embarrass yourself, you embarrassed us in front of Paul.
Oxnard training camp and the wonderful people working the stand. I got a little message for you guys.
Rock 'em if you got 'em, son.
Did they just dump the beers? What the hell is that? That is such an epic video.
And also, he's wearing that nice new Cowboys hat, looking crisp. Looking amazing.
Oh, he is too.
Look at that. Oh, yeah. The beer garden is at Eric training camp. And the wonderful people working.
I just want to get a side cap. Look at that.
There it is.
That is. We were just talking about that before we went live. We were looking at the, I don't know, NFL.com or NFL shop. And Paul said he had just ordered that hat. And we were all kind of looking at bucket hats to get. So
this is also kind of funny.
Here, take our money, Jerry.
Thanks a lot, Jerry.
I hope there's nothing sensitive on this. I don't know.
It just knows how to sell products, doesn't it?
But this is our bro, Eric, just airdropping.
Airdropping CanFan, a picture of CanFan to everybody.
To everyone.
Love it.
That's how you get shit done.
We appreciate the boots to the ground, Eric, because we weren't able to be there.
Some dudes thinking his girl's chatting with another guy. It's just our fucking stupid mugs.
You're fucking podcast host now.
you're jumping on some sort of podcast host dick.
Oh. I mean, look, should we just keep going through these videos, or do we want to jump?
I think we just jump into some training camp conversation.
Yep.
I want to ask Paul what his biggest concern going into training camp was, and who he was most excited to see
I'll just play some videos.
Yeah, you can just have a background some background stuff going on. But that's kind of what I want to know. I know there's a lot of storylines going, but it's always fun to hear another perspective of someone that's a diehard Cowboys fan. So
yeah. I mean, I think my deepest concern was originally when we first drafted, obviously, Tyler Smith, who played the majority of his career at tackle, now playing in the guard position. And my biggest concern, we know guarantee Tyron Smith is not going to play 17 games this year. He's not.
Yep.
Let's be honest. As much as I love the guy, and when he's on the field, he's legit, but he can never stay healthy. So my concern is Tyler Smith going to be that guy to fit that void, especially with the promise we had last season with the interior of our offensive line. When you're going up against how the She-Dolls have just drafted with Jordan Davis getting drafted, it kind of raises that eyebrow. So that was my first concern. I'm not so much worried about it now, but my main worry now is obviously wide receiver. this thing that. So, but from what I'm seeing right now, all the guys like Dennis Houston, Noah Brown, they are making some plays out there. So I'm very intrigued to see how things are going to progress throughout training camp. Not to mention TJ Vasher, who had a really great start at camp with that one-handed catch against
I think it was on Joseph. Yeah, it was on Boss.
Yeah, Kelvin, yeah.
Boss Man Fat.
Yeah, there we go.
Boss Man Not So Fat, am I right?
No.
Am I right? When we were down in Vegas and they drafted Tyler Smith, Adam has a shot of me and I'm like basically like, who did we just draft? Like, I didn't really know much about the guy because we had our hearts set on so many different players and like a couple tackles and guards, and once they were gone, I had no clue who Tyler Smith was, to be honest.
I tell you, my top guy, and believe it or not, was Cole Strange, and I got laughed at for that, and look who he got drafted by,
exactly,
the Patriots in the first round.
Yeah,
I was like, if we can get Cole Strange in the second round, I would have been screaming for the joy of heavens, like how we got Neville Gallimore in the third round. I love Neville Gallimore.
Canadian boy.
My guy. Oh, absolutely.
Canadian
absolutely.
Kid. Wouldn't call him a kid. The guy's a fucking house. The guy
he's a monster.
But I've never say, hey, kid, what's up? I get steamrolled. What did you think about our second overall pick, Sam Williams?
So I'm on the fence, with the Jalen Tolbert pick after that, it kind of balances it out a little bit because I would see if you were to say get Jalen Tolbert in the second round and Sam Williams in the third, I would have been really happy about it. But Chris, it was the other way about, because I didn't think Sam Williams would have been so high up in the second round. But I think it's more down to Dan Quinn and Jerry having such a soft spot for the guy, I think, personally. But I'm one of these type of fans that are like, prove me wrong and I'll eat some humble pie. Like, yeah. I love to be proven wrong about anybody, because who are we to judge, really? Because we're fans in the day, and if as fans can get shut the hell up, then we're the players are doing their job properly, you know. So,
well, I've been a firm believer that, like you kind of just said, the amount of time that like Dan Quinn, like you had mentioned, watches film on these guys and then actually has the personal workouts with these guys. Who the hell am I who's done 20 minutes of study on a guy? Yeah. And my study is a YouTube mashed video with rap music on it, right? I trust our front office. They do a lot of fucked up shit with other stuff, but in the last 10 years they've been pretty decent with acquiring talent.
Yeah like especially with the core fundamentals, like offensive line, like, so. And this is where I'm not so, when it comes to Tyler Smith, again, like going back to our first round draft pick, I trust the process, because they, if the Cowboys have him right higher, then cool, because no one had Travis Frederick in their mindset all those years ago. We're like, who? What? We passed by Johnny Manziel and look what happened to him. So, that was the year after. That was Zach Martin.
Yeah, Zach Martin,
my apologies. But you get the idea. It's like, whenever we draft high in offensive line, it seems to be always kind of worked out. Maybe not so much on Connor Williams, but
yeah, he was kind of a miss.
That brings back memories of like when that, because you guys were at the draft. I was overseas doing my stint for the Canadian Forces. just fucking drinking booze and
not doing any correspondent stuff. For
they don't even know what
that would have been. The funny
NFL
thing
is
that would have been the whole shtick.
that was the comedy. Anyway, sorry.
Okay, well, look, it's Pat. I have to go back now and get that for us, okay? But I can't remember what my fucking point was going to be here.
Just make it.
Just make a point, Claire.
What were we just... You guys derailed me. I'm sorry.
Well,
I'm sorry.
My goal is to always derail you every single podcast. Stephen White says that he is the one to... He is going to judge people. You know, I know Paul said he's not to judge, but Stephen White in the chat saying he's here to judge.
Steven, thank you so much. You rekindled my memory here. What I wanted to say was I'm on the same boat with you. Like, I have a strong opinion that I'm like, this guy just sucks or this guy is great. Obviously, for the Cowboys, if I say something negative, I don't want that to happen. And I found, like, in the chat from the draft, I was on a Twitter group chat with other Cowboys fans during the draft, and I felt that like there was almost like they wanted N'Kobe Dean didn't get drafted, so they were like, we want this guy to fail.
Yeah, that's
fine. And they were just trying to find, like, ways to say that this was the shittiest draft pick ever. But when you look at the history of the Cowboys...
Cowboys fans.
Well, that too, but like I'm saying Cowboys that... Fans. It's like, okay, I don't know anything about this dude. They drafted an O-line, but... I look at their history. I'm like, well, you got to either you fucking trust the team that you have, or all the picks are just like, we don't really know. We're taking a fucking flyer on this guy.
Well, Paul probably deals with this. You deal with other Cowboys fans from around the world. I can wholeheartedly see why other fan bases absolutely fucking can't stand us. Because sometimes I have a hard time talking to other Cowboys fans because they're just so set in their ways that they don't want to even argue with any type of reason. They just want to take their opinion and that's it. Right? Yeah. Like, and you, I imagine you deal with the same issues as I do with talking to Cowboys fans. You're just sometimes like, oh my God, I can see why people hate us.
Yeah, I mean... I think the funniest story that's ever happened to me, I got into an argument with a Browns fan before in Scotland, and I'm like, how the hell did you become a Browns fan? It's like, you have no right to argue with me by looking at your general manager, your whole franchise. It's like, shut the fuck up.
Crack him if you got him.
Oh, let me get one of those in here. Crack him if you got him, son.
Okay.
Let's go.
Okay, so a couple things.
Here we go. Ooh, coming in high with that.
Crack him if you got him, Scott.
Oh my God, that's actually good.
So a couple things in the chat that we got going on right now. Stephen White saying he likes everything but not happy with our kicker situation. So
that's something we got
to
talk about.
Yes, and then we need to talk about. Yep.
Troy Dudley's popping in and he's saying Fassel needs to go.
I'll get you. Is there one more?
There's other stuff going on in the chat.
Okay, well, I'm going to let Paul lead out with this because you brought up before we got on air that you wanted to talk about the kicking situation. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on that, and then I'll kind of touch base on Fassel.
Yeah, so hallelujah, as you guys have been calling him. So I am definitely on board because I cannot pronounce his name, especially with my bloody tongue-twisting accent. It sounds like a car crash. It's just been such an inconsistent... I would have thought going to this camp, we would have thought, you know what, we could have some stability moving away from likes of Greg DeLay because he was inconsistent last year. Hopefully kind of bring... But I'm just so frustrated how one day we were going for 4-for-4, 3-for-3. The next day, it's like complete polar opposite. You're just like, what the hell? And when I was watching it on the Cowboys live stream, you actually see Mickey Spagnuolo making comments while the kicks were going off saying, well, that was hell of a wide. That was terrible. Like, just actually making off-the-cuff comments during live broadcast. The kicks have been absolutely awful. So...
I saw the funniest tweet. I saw the funniest tweet about that. I don't know who it was, and I would give credit where credit's due, but I can't remember what it was. Someone just wrote, after watching the kickers today in practice, I kind of wish we had Greg the Leg back. So that's how dire it is. Like,
I do not like that.
That's how dire that is.
I didn't like it. It could be worse. It could be Brett Maher.
True.
Here's the thing with kicking, man, is it's the most unsexy position. You're probably, out of all groups of like within a team, like all groups, you're pretty much by yourself. Yep. You have so much impact on the game with your kick. Think about how many games are lost by like 6 points or something or less, and like two kicks were missed, you know? It's a very unforgiving position, and you don't get any praise. Well, maybe when you kick the winning.
Well, take the Raiders game last year for Thanksgiving.
We were there live.
I was there live. It was all pretty much all
whoa,
down
whoa.
To...
We were all there?
We were there live.
We were all there live? Too. Yeah, we were there.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we were down in at the Raiders game, but you're right.
Well, we were up.
Yeah, we were there, but we weren't high up. Yeah, we were somewhere. We were so high up, we could have been in a fucking helicopter. We were like at the back of the arena, but... It was great.
By end of the game, I was absolutely horse shit faced out my nuts. So I was just that pissed. I was so annoyed. It's like, how many field goals do we need to give away here?
Oh man, you know? And not even that. The Tampa game, week one, we had Tom Brady and the whole team. We had the Bucks beat basically, but Greg could not hit a kick for the life of him. Couldn't hit an extra point. Couldn't hit a kick. It's like that needs to be the one part of your game that has to be bang on, right? Like.
Yeah.
has to be bang on.
Okay, so let's take a moment here because Eric Serrato asked us if we saw this video.
Can we give some backstory?
Yeah, so go ahead and give some backstory
for this video. I made a meme about Dalton Schultz being a little crybaby, I don't know, a couple months ago, and he blocked us. And
on Instagram.
I heard about this.
He blocked us on Instagram. He blocked us on Instagram and Twitter. So our guy on the ground, Eric Serrato, he took this video.
I need to be careful what I say.
Yeah, you don't have to say nothing.
Hey, we love Schultz.
Oh yeah,
go look at our history.
I love Dalton Schultz, but I think sometimes some players just take it too much to heart.
You know, this is like when you're.
We have 7,000 followers. Why do you care what we say, dude?
Yeah, this is where they say like sometimes you just don't want to meet your superheroes
because
they
might punch you.
Or you might punch them, or they might disappoint you. But this is what our man Eric Serrato said.
Hey Schultzy, how you doing? Why'd you block my guys on CanFan?
and he doesn't answer. He has no answer.
He blocked out in real life. I would like to see Dalton Schultz. I don't hate Dalton Schultz. No. I hope he has a great season. I made a meme because I have a meme account. And when a guy's mad about making millions of dollars on a franchise tag, I'm going to be a fan. I'm going to call how I see it. Like he's playing for $10.6 million this year.
Yeah.
What's to bitch about?
It's also we never... I don't think that we called him a loser or anything like that. It was literally just about the money. And we should shut the fuck up about other people's money, but this is what it is being a fan.
We have to talk in the offseason.
When it's the Sahara Desert for information out there, you just got to latch onto anything. And guess what? Sometimes you piss off your heroes and they block you on Twitter and IG.
Yeah.
I think all the hate is going towards the wrong people. It should be going towards Jerry and Steven on this one because they had every opportunity to sign him early on. If it wasn't for the whole Randy Gregory situation, then David and Njoku for Cleveland somehow got that big, massive contract.
Oh, my God.
That just set the bar for everything. Now you're like, and Dalton's like, wait, hold on a minute here. I've done more production than this guy. Mm. So I want more than him.
Well, absolutely. And you know what? And absolutely. And we talked about that too. Like
Jerry and Steven are fucking terrible at signing players before the market set. It's like they're scared to overpay, and then the market gets set at way higher than they were going to pay originally, and now they're going to either retain him next year or pay him a boatload more than they were going to.
Prime example, is Ezekiel Elliott. See, if it wasn't for Todd Gurley getting that contract because he is more injury prone. He's only had one good proper season over 1,000 yards. And Zeke's like, wait, hold on a minute. I'm less injury prone. In fact, I'm hardly ever, I'm injured, but I still play.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm still consistent getting those yards and scoring touchdowns. I was like, show me, I deserve more money than that. That's not on Zeke's fault. That's on Jerry's fault for not pulling the trigger early on when he should have.
100%.
Yeah. That situation with, Dak was
similar.
It's very similar, but it kind of paid off now that we're seeing what is coming. But I mean, I think everyone expected that,
which is what everyone had kind of said. Like they could have signed Dak for probably somewhere in the region of like 35, yeah, 35, like between 32 and 35 million. They didn't. They signed him for 43 million a year. Everyone goes nuts. But now you start looking at these. Absolutely.
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. Mahomes.
Baltimore's going to end up bankrupt.
Yeah.
Put it that way, just on one player.
Well, it's such a fucking, my perspective is it's just percentage of salary cap. So if that percentage is 50 million, then that's totally fine. The quarterback's so important, but you know, it comes down to also looking at the way that Tom Brady structures his deals. And I have no idea why teams don't do it this way. There must be a reason. But like how Tom Brady can be $1 million on the books, but still getting paid $25 million.
He's already a multi-millionaire.
It's all seems to be off-team endorsements more than anything.
He doesn't give a shit about the 20 million or
pay me 30. In Bitcoin, bitch.
Crypto.
Stephen White saying it's one thing to pay a lot for a year and another to pay a lot per year for 5 years. They're not sold on that. I'm not either. Schultz rocks, but as a cornerstone for years? Question mark.
He's young. He is young.
Yeah. My biggest concern with tight end, paying a tight end, is Dak has always been, well, I mean, we had Jason Witten with Dak, so that's hard. It's hard to base it off of. I don't want to break the bank for a tight end position, especially one that doesn't block very well. Jason Witten, I would have paid for him in his later years just based on his blocking.
Absolutely. So Eric Serrato is going there tomorrow, so he wants questions from us that we can send him to ask. He said he's going to dig into Schultz a little bit. He just didn't want to get kicked.
Tell him that we love him. Tell Schultz that CanFan loves him.
We do love him, and we want him back. We want him back.
We want him. We don't want him thinking about his fans when he's catching touchdowns.
And call him by his fucking handle. Call him Bingham Bomber 9. Bingham Bomber 9, please.
Okay, we got another question. I got a question from Bryson, our boy Bryson from Carving It Up podcast. What's y'all's thought on the offensive line getting cooked yesterday? I have a feeling Dak could get the Joe Burrow treatment for defensive lines. Oof. Grimacing face.
What do you think about that, Paul?
Yeah, it was a bit of a concern. Like, D-Law is looking pretty good. And like, I'm a defensive lineman myself. I played both sides of the ball back in the UK like a couple of years ago. I'm now long retired, but it's a... I'm genuinely concerned, like, if one of our starters does get carted off, whoever the next person is going to be. It seems to be the same scenario every year right now. It's like, we do have our set standard of our offensive linemen as our starters, but if one of them goes down, it just seems to be just...
Is that... Just falls apart. Is this a unique thing? Not unique, but is this something that the Cowboys have an issue with consistently, or is it something that the NFL teams have?
NFL. It is an NFL problem. Tackles, like swing tackle, is a very coveted position. Sure, they might not start, but if you don't have a swing tackle to come in, if your left or right tackles go down, the whole reason there's a position called swing tackle is because left and right tackles do go down. Yeah. And if you don't have someone to replace them, you're pretty much fucked. You go back to 2020 when we had Andy Dalton. I'm a firm believer still when Andy Dalton, if he would have been in with our full offensive line, we would have been okay. The issue was our whole offensive line got just smoked. Like, they were all out. So it's a thing that happens in the NFL. And that's another part of winning the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is usually won by the most talented team, but it's also won by the team that stays healthy, right? Every NFL team's is awesome or very good. It's who stays healthy and can keep their starters on, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know if that answered your question, Alex, but that's my answer.
Does this answer your question?
Oh, God. I felt so bad for Andy Dalton when that happened. When Andy Dalton got taken out and no one went to defend him.
No. Wait. So I lost my shit over this, right?
It was brutal.
If I was in that offensive line, I would be getting into a fight right now. Oh,
definitely. That's a fight. That's a fight situation.
That is a fight situation. If I saw my quarterback down on the ground, absolute KO'd, I'm at
receiver set.
I'd be like square and go. Like,
you're down 22-3. That is the time to get kicked out of a game. You make a statement. Look at this. Headshot. Like,
oh, hang on. Hang
switch
on.
That up here.
You got to let me know when you're playing it. Go back.
I just found it.
Oh. How the fuck were they? Like, that guy should have been steamrolled. Doesn't even have to be an offensive lineman. A running back could have went at him. Anyone. Amari Cooper could have went at the guy.
I don't know who the center was. I don't know if it was Bayadish or it was Joe Looney at the time, but they just stood there, just shrugged their shoulders. Yeah. Whatever.
So fucked up.
Dude, I was like, that's your quarterback. Stand up and actually take responsibility.
I'm trying to find the...
That took a couple years off his
life. We all saw it. We don't need
we
to.
We all saw it.
Ultra Cowboy saying that would not happen with Tyler Smith.
Tyler Smith would be right in there.
Be best rest assured.
Tyler Smith would be right in there.
If there's one thing I do like about Tyler, he's got a dog mentality.
Yep.
This is something that I'm glad you brought up is there's a couple new players on the team. I'll just say
Ridgeway.
Ridgeway is the other guy.
Yep.
Big GR.
Yeah.
Big GR.
They come. They're
Vanilla Gorilla.
They seem like we got some nasty players, and I don't know. That's a couple years ago, but it felt like, especially in the 49ers game, not to like rip open a scab.
So first
here.
We got to watch Andy Dalton get killed, and now you got to bring up that playoff loss. Crack him if you got him.
But I mean to say there was like a missing, like, meanness or toughness. It kind of like there's a lot of skill.
You want to be fucking angry.
I want the guy. I don't ever want to tell my players to do this, but I want the guy who's gonna fucking stick his thumb in a person's eye.
And it's all situational, right? Like, well, this is the issue. Like last year, Randy Gregory would kind of do some stuff, but he did it at the wrong time.
Yes, yes.
Like there's timing to do stuff. And then there's like...
There's good penalties and there's bad 100%.
There's good penalties and bad penalties. A good penalty, your quarterback gets knocked out in a 22-3 game. 15 yards,
easy.
I don't even give a fuck. Get taken out of that game. You ear hole that motherfucker. Like that, we've talked about this lots and I'm getting sweaty right now talking about it. But that is an instant ejection if I'm on that team.
Yeah. So even if your wide receiver gets Antonio Brown, that's a nice situation you want to come in and actually defend.
Oh God, yeah.
Definitely.
Yep. And I don't know, there's this guy in our chat, Ultra Cowboy. He has a Broncos avatar logo, but his name's Ultra Cowboy. And
maybe he's an actual cowboy.
You know what?
Oh!
Did I just break the goddamn puzzle?
So there's some debates. There's some debate going on. He's saying the O-line is fine. Go listen to Nate Newton yesterday. And then he also said, listen to Zach Martin's interview yesterday and how he talked about the DQ defense. Don't know if we have that.
Ultra Cowboy, we do not have time to listen to a full podcast on our podcast. So give us the fucking deets.
Give us the notes. Yeah, like, give us the notes. Cliff notes, bro.
And guess what? We'll talk about it like we fucking listened to the podcast, okay?
This is the thing, though, with saying the D-line beating up on our O-line, maybe the D-line's just playing that well, right? Like,
but don't forget as well, we don't know what percentage of the defensive line are playing at, if they're playing at 50% capacity or 70% or 100%, there's no way they're going to be playing 100% because you obviously can't hit the quarterback. So we don't really necessarily know. The only time we will get to notice the big difference is game one of preseason.
I can't wait. Actually, that's a good, segue.
Well, yeah. Just before JJ's saying, go back and look what he said. So he said, can't lie though, guys, but as bad as the line looks, Dak is still looking good back there. Guys like a guy that could possibly carry this year. Look what he's doing with Dennis Houston.
Fire. That's a couple things I'd like to talk about. I'd like to talk about our young wide receivers. I'd like to talk about Diggs getting burned. I'd like to talk about the Denver game, obviously preseason week one. And then I had one last one, but I rallied off two off the top of my head.
How big your balls are.
The massive, massive. Have you ever seen that South Park episode when they're walking around with the wheelbarrow? Somewhere along the line.
It's been a while since I watched South Park, to be honest.
Hey, man. It's good. It's still pretty good.
So we got preseason week one coming up. It's the Cowboys at the Denver Broncos.
We're going to be playing in the Mile High Stadium at 6 p.m. Pacific, August 13th, Denver, Colorado. It'll be a nice... warm, 82 degrees.
You sound like a pilot / like announcer.
The pilot's just fucking...
I am the one who fucking does the radio voice. Yeah, here, I know. Or the boxing voice.
But you're not even going to be here Saturday for the live stream, so no. You don't get to talk for the rest of the podcast.
I'm sleeping over here.
I'm actually thinking about it. I might sleep at your place on Saturday night. You're gone. We're going to have a huge party.
The theater room.
I don't even know what time that game starts for me, actually.
Oh, you're going to be... So it's
1 a.m.
6 p.m. Pacific.
And you're 8 hours. So you're... Yeah. So you're at 2 a.m.
Hey.
Great.
Crack. If you got you'll be joining us on the live stream.
Yeah, I will look absolutely zonked at my face.
The good thing about that is it is on a Saturday, so that's Sunday morning. At least it's not on a Sunday. And then you'd probably miss it if you work Mondays. I don't know your work schedule, but that's a possibility.
Yeah, I'm a Monday to Friday, thank God. So yeah, if that's the case, I'll be staying up for it because I've done it for UFC, so I'll do it for the Cowboys. I do it all the time. So
I know. Hey, and we have to do it the once in the blue moon. They do the London UFCs, right? So I wake up, I'm like, what the fuck? UFC's on at 11? Or
I have a funny story quickly. When I was in New Zealand working away for the year, Cowboys would play on Mondays. I've never called in so many times on a Monday. I was like, fuck this job. I don't actually care about it. Text them, I'm sick. They're like, really? I'm like, yeah, I'm not coming in. Got Cowboys to watch.
Wait till I tell you. So in a couple of weeks' time, I'm off to Greece. And I'm still going to have to do some work. So now I'm going to have to communicate with Meg. And I think it's going to be like 11 hours difference.
Oh, wow. Now.
So it's literally like pretty much halfway across the world. Literally.
Is she based out of the States then?
She's based in Dallas. She's close friends with Dave Hellman, who used to work for the Dallas Cowboys, now works for Fox Sports, and also with Kelsey Charles. So they all live in the same type of complex and stuff like that. So,
hey, sorry, here's a little, like, I know we were just saying we wanted to talk about Cowboys preseason.
Yeah, but we
here,
always
we
end up, we always go off the grid. So
it's like a,
you,
it's like a,
you.
I say our podcast is like a good Quentin Tarantino movie. You don't know where we're going, but by the end of the cast, you're like very satisfied with what just happened.
First time I've ever heard him say that, but I said it.
Well, I at least said it once
first
before.
Time I've ever listened to you.
This is what I love about you guys. You just go with the flow. That's what I love about it.
What I want to ask you,
we drink the whole time and we just get so off fucking topic.
But guess what? We will tie in the end that we tie up the loose ends that need to be tied. The ones that don't, fuck, no one remembers anyway.
Okay, just give
Paul,
a clean, just
I have a question.
Give a clean crack him if you got him, ass. Go for it.
Crack him if you got him, son. Let's go, baby.
That was really damn good.
There you go.
Okay. Hey, how did you get involved with Blogging with the Boys? I mean, this should have been our first question out of the gate. But.
Oh, yeah. It kind of all started with the UK Cowboys fans. So I've been part of the fan group for going to over like 10 years now. And we decided to do our podcast. I got invited to become a regular and now I'm a full member of that. Then we had RJ Ultra coming onto the show. And obviously when I went over to Dallas, Houston and all the other years and I met up with Meg, got to hang about with her in person and she recommended me to RJ and so did Kelsey and say, we would love to try and get Paul on. So it's just for recommendation and RJ said, basically got in contact and was like, listen, we would love to do a segment, get a more international perspective about the Dallas Cowboys, which we think would be great for the overall brand. And I was like, I'm on board. Little did I know I was actually getting paid for it. So I'm like,
yeah, you're like,
because I would have done it for free.
Yeah, they're like, they're like, how much do you want to get paid? You're like, pay?
You're preaching to the choir.
I was like, yes, yeah, send me your PayPal details. I was like, what for? I was like, I don't need to pay for it.
I can't afford to pay you guys to do this.
So it's been great. So sometimes I join RJ, Tom Ryle, all the other guys from Blogging the Boys. We do the round table and stuff like that on the live stream sometimes. And obviously I joined in for the NFL draft. So I was kind of chopping in and out the UK Cowboys and Blogging the Boys streams, like maybe every hour till from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. in the morning. So I was like, my sleep deprival was just going off the charts.
It's like Navy SEAL training.
Oh God, honestly.
Hell season.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I should have been called Bruce Wayne at this rate, honestly.
Hey man, I think, we all like, Blogging with the Boys is obviously probably one of our number one sources for our podcast.
It probably is. Yeah,
the guys do so much work, man. RJ, Tom, everybody, Danny Fam do amazing work.
Yeah. Well,
I'm just honored to be part of it.
Definitely.
Mm. Well, we're stoked to have you on here. I mean, so far you've been a fantastic guest, and this is not me calling you out.
Yeah.
As like to call you out of the episode.
Yeah, Adam's like, and so we're gonna let you go.
Hey guys, it was a great run. Get me next season.
Before I just want to wrap up the Zach Martin thing.
Yes.
Troy Dudley in the chat saying basically Zach said the O-line is not gaming the O-line calls as they would against the real game OP.
Yeah, so they're playing vanilla. Yeah. Like, and that's the thing. And that's another thing with preseason. You can go into preseason. I've seen the Cowboys go into preseason and lose every game, and everyone, as Cowboy fans do, we get up in it. We get our pitchforks out, and we want Mike McCarthy fired, and we want Dan Quinn to become the head coach. We have these snapshot judgments, and it's at a point like preseason is just to get the shit together. But it's at the end. Look at that mug. It's at the end of the day. It's just another tool to see players, but they're not going to be scheming. They're not going to be blitzing. They're not going to be doing any of this other stuff, right? So, and that's kind of how it's a good segue into the training camp discussion. That was a big heated discussion on Twitter. Crack him if you got him. Trevon Diggs getting burned by Semi Fiocco and CD Lamb. Twitter blew the fuck up. Trevon Diggs deleted his Twitter. It's training camp one-on-one.
Well, of course. I mean, why would he not fucking delete his Twitter? He doesn't want to get all this other shit in his brain. Like, the last thing he wants to do is he run through a drill, it pops up online, and then everyone's blowing him up. And Nobody has the idea of how bad it would be to be a professional football player and having your phone blowing up at any given moment. So of course he's gonna delete his shit. Like, hey, look, I want to make sure I'm set for football, not fucking block. I don't want to go through and block the Cowboys can fan like my boy Dalton Schultz here.
Fuck you, dickhead.
No.
The thing with this though is you could go to any other training camp. And every star CB on that team is getting burned on one-on-ones when their star receiver runs a go route. Like, you have no chance. I would be more worried if CeeDee Lamb wasn't beating Trevon Diggs one-on-one with no quarterback rush, with half the field open. They have everything in their position to win that drill. It's more of an issue if the offense isn't winning those.
The one thing that I think I did take from that, because there was a point where Diggs was sprinting and they were both sprinting. Diggs and Lamb. I think it was the Lamb burn. Lamb is so fucking quick.
He's fast.
And Diggs looked really slow. But
he's so
again,
fast,
like
he makes other guys look not so fast.
That's not a dig at Diggs. Okay. Because I love the dude. I love him. Any shotguns he makes me take through the season. Every int we do a shotgun with him.
Yeah, my boy. We all have Diggs jerseys.
So the only thing is, it's kind of funny how and we all are all like this. Like, he could have just deleted the Twitter app, but instead he deletes his profile, which just like blows more fucking flames the fire. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he could have just said, I'll just delete my app so I don't see this shit.
Should have just changed his picture to a middle finger.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. That would have been great too. But, or, you know.
You can disable notifications as well. Like, right. Anything you get tagged in, just don't get it highlighted on your phone.
Should we do a PSA for NFL footballers and go and make a nice video? This is how you remove notifications. Click settings. it's got to be, sorry, it has to, like, I know I just said that, but everyone has their phone. We're all attached to our fucking phones.
Well,
like,
Diggs is going to be fine.
I know
it's gonna be fine.
He's going to be fine.
Yeah. We have everybody.
Don't worry, Cowboys Nation. Don't worry, right? We're gonna be fine.
You know what? Everybody in the chat right now who seems to be on the same consensus as us, the drill's designed to benefit wide receivers. No pass rush, no safety help. QBs have all the day to throw, which is what Eric Serrato said, who was there. JJ's saying, but they won't tell you Trevon only let 2 catches yesterday. All practice, though. Like, I hate when people jump to conclusions.
Yeah, but that's not the sexy headline.
No, exactly. Oh.
That's not the sexy headline.
I'm not clicking that fucking link.
Oh, he only let 2 catches go? No, that's stupid.
Like, guess what? Trevon Diggs got burned once, but then he let other two catches, then he deletes his Twitter account. Like, fuck off.
Is Trevon Diggs quitting football forever?
After getting burned by CeeDee Lamb? Like, oh, man.
Stephen White says, I can't even talk right now.
Come on now. Get it out.
You're not even drinking. Like,
no, I'm drinking.
Hey, go off, King.
Trade Diggs for Diggs is what he says.
I want both Diggs, to be honest. I would love to have Stephon Diggs on the team.
There was a quick moment last year, I think, before Diggs signed his contract, that was like a...
There was a big rumor or possibility that was going to happen, but... Nah. I think
Have you ever noticed, though, every big free agent, Cowboys might sign him.
Yep.
Like, I don't know, especially during draft season, the amount of players that use the Dallas Cowboys for clout, you had Myles Garrett saying, Jerry, please trade up and sign me. You had Melvin Gordon wearing a Cowboys t-shirt during an interview on ESPN saying, oh yeah, my dream team would be the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
Nearly every player wants to be a Cowboy.
It inflates their next signing.
And not just that, it makes our trade value, like our trade capital, less, because teams are like devaluing it because they know how desperate we might be for this player. Right? So now you're the Cowboys. Screw you guys.
Yeah, so, fuck them, right?
Hey, man. Sorry, go ahead, dude.
I was just going to say, but I think we got really, really lucky with the whole trade for Micah Parsons.
Oh, man.
That was
so good.
So
oh, my God.
Who was, when we drafted Parsons, there was another player. Yes, but there was another player on the board that we wanted. Was that Patrick Surtain? Yeah.
He got taken by the Broncos at 9. Was it 9? I think it was 9. We were picking 10.
It was 9.
And we were picking 10. And as soon as he got taken, we traded back with the Eagles. because I guess they knew. And that to me was like,
They needed the wide receiver big time. It was Devonta Smith or something?
Yes, Smith. Devonta Smith. Yeah. That to me, I mean, we still have to see Micah this year, but I have a feeling the guy's still going to just pick up running where he was last season, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I do have, actually, AJ, you had brought up a great article that we haven't even touched on,
yep,
which was huge news. I want to get Paul's thoughts on this. The signing of Anthony Barr and him starting off on PUP. Is this a concern, or are you still pretty jacked up about it?
I'm still pretty happy the fact that he brings some linebacker depth and knowledge. That's the biggest key. He can bring some knowledge to the likes of Jabril Cox, who may be returning sooner, whoever, and that, and all these other linebackers. The guy's a four-time Pro Bowler. Like, just even having a guy in the team, in the coaches' meetings and stuff like that as well. Like, not coaches' meetings, but within the actual positional group meetings, sorry. It brings so much more to the game of, like, maybe picking out things from video footage, saying, oh, this actually mistake there, that's how you can prove that. Mm-hmm. So just certain key points from linebackers to learn trades to the trade from there. Like, you saw what DeMarcus Ware did when he worked with Parsons in the offseason.
Yep, definitely.
What I like is that I know him, so he must be a good football player, but also, like, we're bringing that veteran to the team. As much as Anthony might call out LVE for his fucking weird decisions that he makes during games, this might be something that helps him to elevate his game again.
Don't hate an LVE, because he was the one that set up the interception for Jalen Kearse during the first part of scrimmage. And I did
see that. And actually, LVE has had a very good camp.
He's really good so far.
He's finally maybe at that point that he's not worrying about past injuries. And they actually, he got interviewed. I'm not going to credit again because I don't know who said it, yep, but I just scroll through so much Cowboys shit that sometimes it's hard to, who knows who reported on what. But he finally said, someone asked him, you had 13 tackles in the playoff loss to San Fran. And then leading up to that, the five games, you were playing pretty well with lots of tackles. And he said, well, that's what happens when you let me play the whole game. So early on in the year, he's getting taken off in nickel, right? So he's playing first and second down. And it might be kind of like a running back kind of thing, right? You need to have snaps to get into a rhythm.
He needs to get contact.
And LVE, contact, his first year, like, he played the whole game, right? So maybe him being on the field and being in nickel and then maybe putting Micah on the line in nickel positions, maybe that's what LVE needs to elevate his game to what he was in his All-Pro year and in his Pro Bowl year. Another thing with Anthony Barr, Jerry Jones was asked about Anthony Barr and LVE, and he just said, those guys look like linebackers. Like, they're both big dudes. They're like Brian Urlacher dudes, right? Like, they are men.
I've met LVE in person. I met LVE in person. So a couple of years ago, it was the year he got drafted. When I was in the Star in Frisco, I was with my friend Shannon, who does the Hanging with the Boys podcast in the Star. And they were doing this documentary, like, type of thing. When I got to meet LVE, I'm like, how in God's earth are you a linebacker? Because I generally, honestly, like, I'm 6'1".
And he's right? Just a tower.
And I'm just like, you should be playing defensive end, bro. Yeah. Seriously. Like, the guy's massive. Mm. Like, and he was sort of chuckling away. He's like, I like your accent. And just walked off. I'm like, what the hell?
I like his neck's like this big.
But just think,
What was that meme of the guy with the big neck? It was in prison. What was that? Do you remember the meme?
He's going to look, Alex will look for it right now.
You'll know what I'm talking about. The guy with the big neck. Yeah.
Wide neck.
Wide neck. Yeah, yeah.
He's right, right up.
Oh, yeah, that guy. That's LVE, pretty much.
But you know what? That is a fucking, what the shit is going on?
He's wide neck.
What is going on here?
I mean, that has to be photoshopped.
There's videos of this dude.
It's obviously a, like, physical ailment or abnormality.
He just goes to the gym and he just does
neck raises.
He just does.
Here's the thing: if LVE gets back to that form,
in his first few years,
he was giving too much neck.
Suddenly, the linebacker core, I think it amps it up to like a top 10, top 5 in the NFL if those two things come into place, if Barr comes into play to play how I think he will be, and if LVE is able to like have the best season out of the last 3 years, it's a really good elevation. And that's such a important area on the defense, right? That middle of the field allows, if you have that lockdown, it's going to allow Diggs to be a little bit more throw caution to the wind and just try to get that.
If your front seven can take care of their business, it makes your cornerbacks' jobs 10 times easier, right? If they're getting pressure, they have their assignments, it makes your cornerback and your DB's life just it's so much easier. So I would love to see LVE of his draft year. Like I said, he did play very well in the San Francisco loss. I hope he can keep going with that.
I agree. Like, you see, like the past, like from San Francisco to, I'm trying to remember what game it was from. I think it was the game after the Saints. He had that really good continuous streak of like being a really good run stopper during the game, helping that defensive line in the run game. So I thought he looked really good up to that point. It's like, okay, like the fact that we were not talking about LVE in a negative sense is always a good thing.
Yeah.
So like the less we were talking about him, the more it was actually, because when you actually go back and watch the game film of him, oh my God.
Who wore it better? Hey, you gotta send me these. That's tomorrow's post. Who wore it better?
I never looked at LVE's neck before. His neck is huge.
He's a thoroughbred, dude.
I told you, the guy is massive. The guy is an absolute unit.
I don't want to get blocked by LVE too, though.
No. Here's the thing. We want to see him be able to play full games, because if he's going to be able to come out there and get 10 plus tackles a game, I mean,
that's huge.
It's not always great to have like, hey, I have a million tackles. It's like, well, so you're just, no one else can do anything.
I will say though, and this is not a dig to a certain player.
Like, Jalen Smith? A lot of tackles doesn't mean shit.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Smith, love the guy. I met him in person as well. But I kind of felt as though LVE was kind of more doing two jobs at once, because there was one, the game that really annoyed me the most was Cleveland back in 2020, where we had that fisherman of a running back run over 100 yards on us. And he literally came off a fishing boat, literally came onto the field and scored 100 yards.
He looked like Jim Brown. He looked like Jim Brown against us.
Oh, dude, it was terrible, right? But the fact is, you're watching your gap assignment, like you see Jalen run into where he was supposed to go, his A gap, then somehow he just goes, runs straight towards into a double team. You're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And it leaves that big, massive gap. Then LVE spots and he's trying to overcompensate. So he's had to leave his assignment and try and cover up what Jalen's mistakes were. So, and it seemed to be quite a lot of miscommunication within that defense back in 2020 under bloody, what's his face?
Marinelli.
Yeah, no, Marinelli. Who was the guy that just came in under Mike McCarthy in 2020?
I'm trying to think right now. I can't even think.
Scott Nolan.
Oh my God, Scott Nolan was so bad.
Yeah, he was absolutely terrible, awful.
And this is kind of back to like talking to Cowboys fans. Like I remember Jalen Smith after his 150 season tackle or whatever, and you'd say something about Jalen Smith not being very good, and someone would bring up his tackle stats. I'm like, he was third in the NFL in tackles. What the fuck does that mean?
Yeah.
It means nothing.
You know what means a lot? You know what a stat you want to look at for linebackers? What's their tackle for loss? Tackles for loss. That's the stat you look for.
Does that mean
that means they're tackling them behind the offense's line of scrimmage. So you're the running back gets the ball, you're tackling them 1 yard loss.
It's the same when it comes towards running backs. People talk about, their yardage is crap. I was like, is he getting beyond the line of scrimmage? If he's not getting beyond the line of scrimmage, then that's on the O-line's fault for not making those gaps.
Which has been Zeke's problem. Zeke's been getting hit.
Yeah, exactly.
Zeke's been getting hit before he's even had a chance.
And this is what I keep iterating. It's like, you need to realize it's like the offensive line is the main core of that whole offense. If they fall apart, everything falls apart. Like it starts from the center all the way down to your left and right tackles. Like, it doesn't matter if you've got Joe Mantara, Dak Prescott, or Joe Bloggs as your quarterback. If your offensive line falls apart, your running game's going to dismantle, and your quarterback is going to be a sitting duck.
100%.
Simple as fact.
Without
Simple
a doubt. That.
Yeah. That we've, I mean, everyone can bring up the stats on football player or quarterback, sorry, time from when they get the ball headed to them, quarterbacks, until they release the whatever it's called, the release time, I guess. And it's, you know, a 0.5 second difference
is the end of the world.
Is huge, yeah. It's huge. So like it's such a game of like, just hold them up for enough time so that I can go through my
reads,
and if you can disrupt that at all, that's going to throw any quarterback off, right?
So I'm going to steamroll this into the preseason game that we have coming up on Saturday. I'm going to ask you guys, I want to know both, Adam, not going to ask you because you're not even watching it. You're going to be, Adam's going to be in California at LA versus LA. So you don't get this question asked to you.
I'm still going to answer it though.
Well, yep. Okay. I guess you can. I am going to ask Paul and I'm going to ask AJ, what are a couple things that you guys, I'm going to say two things you're looking forward or you want to see from our first preseason game? Because I do think we're going to see some starters. I do think we're going to see a lot of our like second tier guys get a lot of playing time. I just want to know who you guys are interested to see and why.
Okay, so number one for me, obviously I'm a defensive line guy. I want to see the development of San Williams. I want to see if he's is proving me wrong, if I feel more comfortable being him, being like a second string defensive end, if he's going to be ahead or before Fowler. Is he going to be a starter? Is he going to be rotation and that? I just want to see how he's developed and what he's going to be bringing to the table. And secondly, I would see it more as a group. Is how our wide receivers are going to be utilized. Mm. Like your Vashers, your Houstons, your Fokos, everybody.
Yeah.
I want to see how they're going to be all distributed in the first quarter of the game when Dak's on, essentially, then it's going to be the backups.
What do you think, Dak? How many reps or series do you think he's going to get? Maybe two or three?
I think maybe two or three. I think they'll just try and give him just to kind of get into the rhythm of it, and that's then let like some. Will Greer's actually looking not too bad during practice as well. So I think we might expect to see a lot more of him because obviously he was pretty much non-existent when we signed him last year. And it's quite interesting to see how the backup quarterbacks are situated now. Like you've got Cooper Rush, you've got Will Greer, and you still do have Ben Super Duper DiNucci, I suppose. Yeah.
DiNucci, like, cracker if you got him.
Yeah, but I mean, it'll be very interesting to see how the battle commences. Who's going to be QB2? I think it's an open battle.
I think you're in, like you said, how they distribute those snaps is going to tell you a lot who they're leaning to. Because even last year, I kind of thought, what the fuck was not DiNucci and not Cooper Rush? What was the psychopath guy's name that looked like an absolute psychopath? He played against the Steelers for us in 2020. I can't think of his name. For the life of me right now. He looks like the nutcase. Zoomed in, weird smile. Quarterback?
God,
yeah, quarterback. Yes. Do Cowboys quarterback, Steelers 2020.
God, what's his name? He looks like bloody Sam Darnold with a Hmong syndrome.
Because I thought he was going to, I honestly thought he was going to win the quarterback duel last year.
Gilbert?
Gilbert. Gilbert. GG.
That's the one.
The psychopath. Look at his face. Get him up on the screen here so everyone listening or watching.
Fairness, he actually looked okay just for that game. He was throwing some wild plays.
Running. He was on.
Just go. I'm like, go for it, man. Go for it.
And I honestly thought, he was going to have a good chance I thought he was going to have a good chance. So it was interesting last year how Cooper Rush, there he is.
Yeah,
there he is.
Sam Darnold hit with a shovel.
You can't trust a motherfucker that looks like that.
Yeah,
he is this fucking psycho.
It's like in that that Friends episode where Chandler can't smile properly. That's what fucking this guy, Gary Gilbert, can't smile
properly.
He
does look like a psychopath who like just saw people smiling and replicated the facial.
That guy pulls wings off flies. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm in the NFL.
But I am interested to see that quarterback battle. Alex, what are you interested to see come Saturday?
Yeah, for me, I really like the idea of let's look at the wide receivers. I'm an offensive type of football mind because I never played, so I don't really. I do love the trench battles, and I think that's like maybe probably the bigger area, but as a like the bigger area of interest, but as just like a kind of top level football viewer, I want to see the wide receivers. I think it would be interesting because there's a bunch of like kind of there's some players that have been around for a while, and then there's the walk on Vasher, right? Yep. Is he 2 years now?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He was hurt he was hurt all last year. So this is kind of like
his first
go at it type thing.
And then there's also the what's his name? Femenko.
Femioko.
Femioko. So I'm really interested.
Sixth round pick last year, I believe. Fifth or sixth round.
Right. And I'm interested to see who rises to that 3B, 4A position, because we're going to start the season a little bit hindered, maybe even with James Washington now, too. Gallup is definitely not going to be.
James Washington, right? Gallup, not playing.
Not playing. So we there's for opportunity for these. Weeks. Like, we're going to need two wide receivers to come in and fill those positions for multiple weeks.
What about that Turpin kid that they signed?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Special teams. That's another one I was
right. What I'm going to touch on.
Yes.
Sorry, I just have to. When this guy enters the chat, it's always.
21 Armando?
No.
Oh, Kilo C? Oh.
Smoke weed every day.
Kilo!
What up, Kilo?
He missed the prison talk.
I mean, he said he's never been this late for the three best friends.
Well, because he's used to us being live in four more hours. Like, and you're a little early today.
Kilo, we're the three best friends that anybody could have. We're the three best friends that anyone could have. We're the three best friends that anyone could have.
So debatable, but we're running with it.
And I would never interrupt a guest or our main host, Anth, but when Alex is talking, I'll interrupt him.
All fucking day.
Hey, listen, I'm the special guest. You do whatever you want, man.
Oh, make him dance, Alex.
Oh, God.
Make
him dance. Fuck my life.
Maybe not go that far. No.
There we go.
I was holding a piss in, and that's like, that almost made me do something more than dance.
Hey, bro, just go. Just do it.
AJ, give us your second thing that you're looking for.
Second thing that I'm looking for is,
he's only on second for me. Jeez.
It's going to just be fucking how they deal with that front seven.
Yep.
There's a lot of...
our O-line.
I wouldn't say I'm not D-line.
Oh, so you want to see how the Broncos deal with our front seven?
Yes, I want to see how. I want to see. I'm interested to see like what combinations our masterman DQ, because I have no faith in Kellen Moore pulling any magic out of that. Kellen Moore draws fucking circles. He is just a plain Jane. Whereas you look at what DQ's drawing up, you know, DQ is drawing up a fucking
pyramid.
What's that movie where the guy's like seeing DQ's beautiful minding in the dark when people walk in.
He's in John Travolta.
He's in a full swimming outfit when they walk in, because that's what he needs to like do his things in the complete darkness with just a red light, and they open the door like, Dan? He's like, get out! He's drawing up some fucking magic.
No way, Dan Quinn is those girls from Minority Report who just like they sit in and he's a precog.
He's precog, a precog.
Yeah, he's a precog. He sees the plays before they happen.
I've got a question for you. Like, do you not think it's a bit crazy how we were like pretty much one of the top offensive teams in the NFL, but yet we're still complaining about offensive
play? I know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
We are the biggest complainers about them.
I don't know what it is. It's some days it wasn't pretty football. It just wasn't nice to watch sometimes, but yet we were still pulling in the yards and stuff like that. And there were some games that just looked absolutely spectacular. You're like, there is.
So I have a question for you about that before I get into my two things that I want to see. Because as we watched the season, the first few weeks we were calling Kellen Moore the Dungeon Master.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like he was being creative. He was doing all this stuff. And, you know, we were putting up points. Dak looked great.
He was a young football mind.
The youngest coach. And then going into playoffs, it was kind of like, playoffs? It was like, I felt like I could run a better offensive scheme.
I wouldn't say it wasn't so much the offensive skill. I just feel like we didn't do enough homework on their defense and their traits more than anything. Like, their defense looked more prepared to like anticipate, knew what we were doing rather than what we were trying to do, how their defense was set up.
Yeah.
So I think it was more down to just preparation more than anything. Like, because execution-wise, we were making catches, but it was all short yards. And the next thing you know, it was 4-10, punt return. It was like four and outs, pretty much quickly left, right, center. So
yeah.
It was just like,
I want someone to look at me like Kellen Moore's looking at whoever the fuck he's looking
at. He's looking at
this.
He's looking at the scoreboard. He's looking at the scoreboard.
Don't knock on Kellen Moore's Boise State career. He was one of the best.
He was top five best college quarterbacks to ever play.
But this goes back to like, I will fucking eat my own crow if Kellen Moore comes out and starts calling some fucking exciting football games. But there's just too much talent on that, too much potential, and maybe he's already determined that this is not, but I don't believe it. But there's too much potential talent on that offensive on Dallas's offense. There has to, like, TP is a Deebo Samuel. I'm not going to say that he's on the same caliber as Deebo. Deebo's fucking awesome, but TP can play, though, can do what he does.
He's as versatile. It's just how he's utilized. That seems to be the problem that we kind of had last year. With all the talent we had the problem of utilization of players. And Mari Cooper was one of them.
Oh, God.
We had a fantastic number one wide receiver, and we did not utilize him.
What were your thoughts about him leaving? I was pissed.
I felt like Will Ferrell smashing the television. I can't remember what movie it was. It's effing bull crap. I can't remember what movie it was, but it was Step Brothers. It's like when they told like no more TV. I was literally like Will Ferrell, and I was like, it's like what?
Yeah, that was honestly to me how they didn't keep retain. And I know it's so far gone now because we can't do anything about it. We got to deal with what we got. But yeah. That Amari Cooper, letting go of Amari Cooper after he revitalized our offense in 2018. I was a big, big Amari Cooper fan, and I think he was super underutilized last year.
I'm more annoyed for what we traded for more than anything.
Oh, my God. Fifth round pick.
Yeah, like, that's what
the trade was, we swapped
the fifth and got a six.
Yeah, that's so stupid.
But you're seeing like the Davante Adams going for first. You're seeing all these other right. Like, who was it that went to the Eagles?
AJ Brown.
Absolute rubbish.
Well, and that's the thing. That was one of our biggest things that we've talked about a fuck ton on here is like, how could we have not gotten, and this is the reason. I'll tell you the reason. They knew the Cowboys were so strapped
with
his
contract. Fuck with me, DJ. Fuck with me.
They knew other suitors knew the Cowboys were so strapped with Amari's contract that they could literally offer us shit.
Well, that's what it was.
A lot of these other trades happened after, right? So we traded Amari, and then after that, Tyreek Hill was gone. After that, Davante Adams was gone. If one of those guys would have gone before, if one of those guys would have went before Amari Cooper got traded, guaranteed we at least get a second. Like, how is Amari Cooper not worth a second? And I'm nervous. You're going to see him go on with Jacoby Brissett, and he's going to fucking dance on people. He's gonna have a great year, and we're all gonna feel stupid.
I genuinely feel sorry for Amari Cooper having to go to the Burns right now. Same. I really do.
Hey, look,
Cooper doesn't deserve it.
Cooper is you don't even know his personality because he's so quiet. He's a very humble guy.
Very humble.
He's on his third NFL team. Came from the Raiders. That's our number two. Our distant two.
So let's give Paul some backup. So
okay,
these two guys, these are the bandwagon boys, right? So last year,
pretty much this time last year.
So I started the CanFan Instagram and started just, you know, posting memes.
Bush league podcasting.
Looked like shit. Yeah, yeah, we all get it.
Webcam in a kitchen.
Yeah, we get it. Fuck me, right? So I started that, and I started getting some traction. And these two guys have a background in media. So they were like, hey, we'll come on and produce your podcast. We'll be behind the scenes.
And we'll never be fans
They didn't say that. They said they came in with an open mind, but you watch our first episodes, they're wearing like Seahawks hats and like Raiders hats. And then as the season started, it's like these dudes, and I give them credit, these guys talk more Cowboys football than I'd say 90% of the fan base. Like, these guys are full on in it. So they're the bandwagon boys, but they're Cowboys fans.
And Anth would give us
Christened them. If they weren't legit, I wouldn't give them. They're christened. They're Cowboys fans.
Throughout the season, Anth gave us some quality checks. So we had to at the beginning of the season, we couldn't name
10 players.
And then we had to name all of the
offensive line.
Offensive line, like it kept going, and now I think we've we're past that.
You guys are past that. Next step is you don't ever say you have a number two team because
that's
I almost threw this.
Okay,
at you.
Listen, that's
guess
fair.
What,
that's
guess fair. What? I and he blatantly said it without conferring with me. I had that's not fair. Worn. I think it's probably been since fourth week last year that I haven't worn
good.
A different team's
you guys
hat
have bought you guys have bought it
or anything. So
the bandwagon boys are buying now.
I've never worn another jersey but the Cowboys. Well, probably my own team, which is the East Coast Pirates, but that's the only football jerseys I've ever worn.
Well, yeah, if you've been since Emmett Smith, you've been a ride or die for a longer than any of us. I started off basically around like Romo's first year, like 2000, I think it was 2005, 2006, yeah, was kind of when I dove in.
Yeah, I kind of took a wee step back from American football because I was more focused on playing I did MMA and all that a wee while years ago. I wasn't really much interested in football. Then I started coming back into it during the Romo era. So I took that wee spell out of it. But in the 90s, that's where I first started getting into it.
Yep, definitely. So I'm going to just quickly touch on my two things.
Yep.
And Paul kind of had mentioned it a little bit. I want to see special teams. I'm actually really excited to see this Turpin guy. He's a fast little fucker, 5'9", 155 pounds. That looks like he's going to be able to take the top off some motherfuckers. And I want to see...
Are we talking about MMA or American football there, the way you described them there?
Whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
And then the other thing, I can't wait to see the circus of our kicking competition.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
like, I want to see... Like, yeah. It's one thing, the guy might miss... He might go 4 for 9 in practice, but if he can come out and hit every kick in preseason... He's undrafted. Obviously, he's probably has some butterflies going, but 4 for 9 is pretty rough. I would like to see some consistency in the kicking game.
Hallelujah!
I don't know what it could be, man. It just could be at least a little bit of confidence, something. Just needs that little kick up the ass. I don't know.
That's what I'm going
to
be watching.
No pun intended to Kerr's getting a kick up the ass.
Kick up the ass. And obviously, like you guys said, I'm interested in seeing what the wide receivers do, the D-line does, the O-line does. We're now, you guys are fans. I'm a diehard fan. Paul's a huge fan. I love preseason games because you get to see all the dudes that got drafted, even from last year, right?
Even though you didn't ask what I wanted to see, that's what I
want. I wasn't going to.
I want to see Tyler. I want to see Sam. I want to see Tolbert. I want to see
the rookies.
I want to see the rooks.
Yep.
I want to see what they can do in action. I want to see them get some reps. And then ultimately, you know, I just want to see a couple of productive throws from Dak. I just want to see how the boys are doing, you know? Yep. Warm them up.
I'll tell you something. I want to see Big JR causing some disruption.
Yes, dude. Me too. He is a mountain of a human.
Boy. I hope he has the talent to play because his attitude is the attitude you want for that position,
sometimes
man.
Can drive you. Like, in the NFL, if you're a big human, you're athletic, and you got this attitude, there's nothing stopping you.
Here's an interesting one. We're speaking about like the defensive line, and it'd be interesting to see how do you think Chris with Tristan Hill being in his final year of his contract?
He's played well too in camp.
Yeah, and well, Tyler Smith did pancake him a good couple
that.
Of times.
I was
pretty nasty. But what do you think his chances are of actually being retained?
It's tough. I don't think he will just because we're going to have cheaper guys. Unless they get him on like a 1-year deal, which the Cowboys love to do. They love to do this like kind of LVE type thing where they'll the Cowboys like to do two things. They love to re-sign drafted players that they've drafted. And then they also love to, on their second contract, get them for like another 1-year prove it type deal. Like LVE's on right now, right? So I could see a Tristan Hill, if he has a good season and does well, I could see them, if it makes sense, getting into a 1-year deal before they sign him long term.
I tell you what, though, that LVE contract scenario was actually a bit of a stroke of genius. I don't know how they pulled that off, but basically, if we were to sign LVE in that 5th-year option, it would have cost more than the contract we just gave him.
100%.
How the hell that happened, I have no idea.
And that's what they have this great situation with LVE and Anthony Barr right now. They're both playing on 1-year contracts. Right. So they're both playing on these prove it contracts that are super team friendly that Cowboys fans aren't used to. Like, we're usually the worst for team friendly deals, but these two dudes are playing on these super good team friendly deals. And possibly if they're playing well, maybe you finally bite the bullet and you extend them during the season. Don't even let them get to the free agent next year.
Yeah, it was the same with our players that we brought in before, like Rolando McClain. Like, we got him in a 1-year deal that we gave him at like a 2-year deal after because he played so well.
Yep.
And who was the guy that they took?
Alden Smith.
Had a good start.
Yep.
Had a good start, but he completely faded away till the end of that season.
Rolando McClain was just in the news, actually. He got arrested on weapon charges. That 2014 year where he kind of seemed like he had finally turned it around and kind of sorted out his demons in life. And then, he didn't.
I'm telling you, that 2014 team should have been a Super Bowl.
Should have been. Mm-hmm. Dez caught it, baby. Hey, hashtag Dez caught it, baby.
We're still talking about it to this day. It's been nearly 10 years.
This one's for Dez. Crack him if you got him, son.
Do you have any more of those cracks for
me? Yeah, I got one last one for you. Okay, and we're going to...
Let's switch gears.
Okay, yeah, I'm actually going to... We're going to do one more thing, and we're going to call us out, because what have we been running for?
114.
Yeah, 114. So we'll get... I'm going to ask... I'm going to ask Paul here, biggest expectations, biggest concerns, and what you think this team is going to finish record-wise.
Oh, hang on a sec.
AJ, crack him if you got him, son.
Crack him if you got him.
I find the biggest concern is the easier one is how many penalties we're going to give up. That's my biggest concern, especially in the O-line.
Were we the most penalized last year? Yeah, we were the most penalized last year.
Well, one player in particular was probably who's now playing for Miami. So he's now there.
Williams?
But, he was the main culprit, but it didn't help matters because we made some big plays, looked great. The next thing you know, it's back 10 yards. You're like, oh, God.
Oh, so, man, there's nothing more deflating than a big run or like a nice pass play, and then you look on the field or you hear the broadcast going, there's a flag on the play. Like that literally.
Could you imagine, right, if we had someone who would just penalties, what our offensive stats would have been for that year? Yep. Like even though we were one of the top scorers, I think we were top actually, weren't we?
Yep, we were.
Like, can you imagine without all those penalties where we would have been? We kind of broke records and stuff like that. And still could have, it's so frustrating. Like we've got potential, we've got the talent. It's just, we're making silly, costly mistakes. So if we can cut out the mistakes, then great.
Well, look at this right here. Look at this chart we have here. Connor Williams, 11 holding, only one false start. But look at the closest holding next to him is what, 9?
Yeah.
See, this is what I don't get, right? Trent Williams, I've got a big issue with that. How is a guy like Trent Williams been given a 99 rating or something like that?
Yeah, he did. No, he was. He got a 99 yes. rating in Madden. Yeah, he did.
That is the biggest pile of shit I've ever seen.
Yep. Yeah, it's weird. I don't know why whenever I watched Trent Williams, like when he was a Redskin, because it was the Redskins at the time. I know their names, the Commanders, but I've never been really impressed with Trent Williams. Like, yeah, he's a big body, but he's like, the best thing he ever did was punch Richard Sherman in the face.
Well, he actually made famous by pointing at my friend, Paul, and that infamous picture of him at AT&T Stadium. He's pointing at a Cowboys fan.
That's your buddy?
That's my mate, Paul.
Oh, yeah. These guys probably haven't ever seen this. Dude, Trent Williams, Cowboys fan. Get that up. Yeah, yeah, that's actually, you know that guy? Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. I was checking
as he's walking out of the stadium.
I was checking it with him in Louisiana.
A photo?
Yeah, it's a photo.
Yeah. So it was the playoff game. Trent Williams is pure laughing at Cowboys fans as he was leaving.
That made me so mad seeing that picture. Look at that.
Yeah. So can you zoom in a bit? Yeah, Paul's the
Alex
one.
I don't know how to zoom in.
Yeah, Paul's the one in the middle, the guy right with the middle finger. that's yep. Paul there.
Paul is
next time.
To your right,
Paul right here.
Yeah, the one in the middle. Yeah,
Paul is a fucking goat. Yeah. That is awesome.
So me and Paul are part of a tailgating group called the Barachos. So that's how I know him from that. So big, massive tailgating group. So every time I come over, I tailgate with them. So
Trent Williams also looks like he could run huge. Through a fucking skyscraper.
He's a big boy. To be fair, let's remember the lower.
They're
floors,
lower. Yeah, they're lower.
It's underground more, so it makes them look bigger. So
looks like there he's like pointing at two hobbits. But yeah, it's like that floor is at least, I hope, 6 feet lower in that picture.
Force Paul, perspective.
Hey, Paul's the goat.
Did you want to go through this article quickly to wrap things up?
Sure, yeah.
Sorry about
that. It's really, no.
There's no sorry. We get to, hey, we, this is our
I think we covered
issue.
Everything.
We could talk for 6 hours.
I know.
As us three, we have the gift of gab. We could all talk for 6 hours.
Yeah, hang on. You've got
me all night if you want me, man.
There was an adult fans chat bot coming in here, and it was spamming it, so I blocked it, and then
oh, you dropped the ban hammer,
and then there's like yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
You Dalton Schultz them.
So we've been getting that on the UK Cowboys one as well. It's just so annoying. It's
did you check out the site? Is it a good site?
Hang on, so I blocked them, and then everyone's saying, "Yep, Alex needs to quit looking up at the porn sites during the podcast." And then everyone's saying, "Alex, share your screen."
I am a lover of the female body. Okay.
Well, that's not what we're seeing on your screen. We're not.
Yeah, it's all football.
It's a bunch of.
It's all heavy, muscular men.
Yeah, we like
I love
it.
Football too.
I love football.
Okay, the foremost. No, no.
Okay,
no,
so before you go into this article, yep. Eric Serrato, I'm going to ask. Eric Serrato has a question for you guys.
Yep.
And since he's our boots on the ground at Oxnard,
looks like your fucking bot's back.
The box. You can't see it. The box. The bot will be there. Just so Eric says, question from this new rookie draft class, who's going to bring the noise this season outside of the first pick, Tyler Smith? He says he's going with Deron Bland, CB out of Fresno Street or Fresno Street. Yeah, Fresno Street. Fresno State. You heard it here first. So okay, Eric's saying Bland's his pick out of the rookie draft class. Who do you guys think is going to?
We'll let the guest kick off. Who do you got, Paul, for the rookie draft class kicking off?
I've got a really interesting one. Marquise Brown.
Yep.
Bell.
Yeah, Bell's been. Yeah. He's undrafted too, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's undrafted. I
all the mock drafts I did like previously before. I had them like coming into the seventh round, like early seventh round, and I was over the moon that we got him undrafted. Same with the center from Boston.
Oh, yeah, he's huge. Linderbaum
Lindstrom.
Sorry, Linderbaum's the one that got in the first round, and Lindstrom's, yeah. The undrafted dude. That's a good pick.
Marquise Bell was really, like, I really like the look of him. I think he will definitely make the team and stuff like that.
6'2".
And also, he can bring some good help to the special teams as well.
Yeah, look at him. 6'2", 212. Imagine that coming across the middle, taking your head off. Like, that's a big dude. That's a big safety, man.
I wouldn't want it.
You wouldn't want it. That's a big safety. What do you got, AJ? Who you thinking out of the draft class?
You know what? I think Tolbert has a lot of...
Damn it.
Yeah, that's what I was
going to say. That was you going last.
I know.
I'll figure it out.
But I think my reason is that I think he has been given opportunity with injuries. And so it's like, shit or get off the pot. If you can come in and start fucking...
Start playing some football.
Just get in there and start fucking.
You know? All right, I want you boys to get in there and just start fucking, okay? All right, DQ.
DQ's losing his mind again. So you're thinking, and Tolbert has had a great camp. He took the top off of.
I think he has the opportunity, man. I think it's just.
Yeah, he made a really good, nice wide open touchdown during the late part of the scrimmage yesterday.
And you can argue with me here if you guys want. I think wide receiver coming out of college is a spot that you can come in and possibly have less of an adjustment period.
Yeah.
If they put you on certain routes, right? Like there's going to be that adjustment, but I feel like if you have the talent, if you have the physical ability.
Well, the rules of the NFL definitely allow you to like transition smoothly.
Yeah, I think wide receiver I think running back's probably easier than wide receiver, but I feel like they're both up there.
I think it's really hard. It's a really kind of weird one to kind of say because it depends on the scheme and it depends on the terminology of the playbook because every play has its own different call names. Like, whether it's like, well, but when I play, we use actual team names to rectify our what plays we're going to do. But every team does everything different. They do maybe call signs or pictures or whatever not. So, players need to readjust on how they're going to pick up what their assignment is and not just that then execute it. So it's all those factors do play into account as well.
But then you just need to have Coach Al Pacino say, go deep.
I'm sorry the chicken was a little dry.
Ad, who are you looking for? You know any of these plays?
So it might be a little bit...
Cliche?
Cliche to
it
say.
It can't be first round. Can't be
no, it's not.
Tyler Smith. Okay.
No, it's not Tyler Smith. Sam
Williams.
I think game recognizes game. So Micah talking about Sam being strong and impressed by him. Like I don't think that's just fluffing the Twitter sphere. Like I think he's.
I think he's porn.
There's no.
Him?
There's no point. There's no point for him to just start saying it if he doesn't think it.
I mean, I think that somebody like Micah Parsons, who is very much like he wants the best on the field. He thinks he's the best. He has the attitude of like some top tier. His mental aptitude is the same as some of the great athletes that you read about, right? So that Micah Parsons sees him as himself as the best out there. So for him to recognize, I think Sam's going to probably show up.
Pretty, real sees real.
Yeah. Game recognizes game.
And Sam Williams is a great, I think that's a good choice. I'm going with someone undrafted and I'm going to stick to special teams because special teams has been a huge issue for the Cowboys for the last fucking, I don't know, since I've been a fan. I think Turpin,
it's new for me. Yeah.
I've watched Turpin in practice, not live, obviously, but I've watched how fast this little dude is. And I think if he can get some shots at punt returning and kickoff return, maybe we get a little Devin Hester-esque situation. If you get a 50
that mentioned that.
Right? Like, we need it.
I was going to say, it's like, I totally see him being like a mixture of a Ryan Switzer and Devin Hester.
Totally.
Like, that slight, like, size of Ryan Switzer, but with the pure speed of Hester.
I thought Switzer was going to be good for us. I really did.
If we could get 1 year out of him, like a Hester, because Hester, after that, like, 1 year,
Hester should be in the Hall of Fame for being a special team.
For what he did. Devin Hester will be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, dude. Every team he's been with in special teams, he's always caused mayhem.
He's retired now. Oh yeah, he's been retired for a couple years now.
Yeah, but even if we get 1 year out of Turpin, the way that Hester, like, it, and then people start knowing who.
Well, like you said, Hester's rookie year will never happen again.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
If you could get half of that,
no one knew what they were coming up against, and it's like every fucking game he was blasting you in the face.
It felt like that. It felt like that.
AJ wants to blast.
I'll tell you what, guys, I might want to change my answer from Bell. I'm very curious to see John Ridgeway play.
Hang on. Can we get Ant's answer in first and then you make that comment?
Ant already said Turpin.
You said okay. But now we're gonna get our guest Paul's answer. Yes. Paul, right here, who do you want to see?
I would really like to see John Ridgeway.
I want to see the vanilla gorilla. So on that note, we got basically some finally Cowboys football's back this Saturday. We're all jacked up. We are going to be live streaming. No, we don't show the game. We can't. We'll get banned on YouTube, but we will be here live reporting on it. And I very loosely say reporting.
No, if you want to chop it up and watch the game with fans and you know what? When stuff comes down the field and interceptions happen and you want to see someone vape out or possibly start shocking some beers, that's where it is.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. We're diehard fans here. Paul, we appreciate having you on. We'd love to have you on again. You're super intelligent. You're a diehard fan. That's what we love. For the bandwagon boys, Paul over in Scotland and your boy Anth, we're out until Saturday. AJ, play this stupid intro song.
I'm trying to get Adam to play the intro.
Well, that's not it.
I can't see it.
I forgot that Alex didn't.
There it is.
I just want to say, guys, thanks for having me on. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Hell yeah.
I'd love to come back again. And talk.
Hey, have you on. Paul, we will 100% have you on.
Anytime. I don't know why we're not letting you say.
I know. We just
we're like, hey, okay, we're going to go.
Cut it. Okay. Paul, let's hear some closing statements.
Cut it out.
You guys fucked up the outro.
Paul,
so
we're
bad anyway.
Paul, we're going to give you 30 minutes to do your closing statements.
No, for real. And Paul, we'll link it into the description post app for if anybody who's tuned in and they want to follow you on any of the social channels, best place to listen to you chat. We'll toss it in the description.
Just send it to me. I'll put it on the next one.
Yep. No worries, man.
But why don't you give whatever shout outs you want to do right now. We appreciate you having on this episode.
Thanks again for having me on, guys. So just a big shout out to the UK Cowboys fans and also Blogging the Boys and basically everybody out there who's a Cowboys fan, pretty much, because end of the day, we are the best fans in the world. Just America.
Yeah.
But worldwide.
Worldwide. And it is legit worldwide.
Legit. From Canada to the UK to Japan to everywhere. Like, everywhere. We are the world's team.
Hey, y'all.
Yeah, not America's team. The world's team.
There you go. Podcast.
This is just an American affiliate cap. So
that's when one of you guys is supposed to push the button.
There we go.
Hey! Hey, we're working on outros.
Oh! Hey, thanks everyone for joining us.
We'll be here Saturday live.
We'll be here Saturday. Come join us for that live stream. I'm going to get vaped up. Woo!
Are we off? Because I got to piss so fucking bad. Mute me?
Yeah,
you mute?
Yeah. Alex just comes in and starts muting everybody.
Yeah, because I'm wild.
Am I still muted?
Hang on a sec. What did you do?
I'm muted.
Check. Yeah.